How can you tell if someone is just going for a walk or has a place to go? Jesus was once walking, and some people could tell that he had a place to go. Let's talk about that today.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who
Good morning. Welcome to Perception. My name is Don Rule. I speak every week on this program called Perception, a work of the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls. So how can you tell if someone is just going for a walk or has a place to go? Well, when someone is just out for a walk, they're a little more casual. They might even stop and talk and look at things. And they're looking around. They're observing. Whereas someone who has a place to go, they might be walking a little faster, their body might be leaning forward a little bit more, and they're looking straight ahead. I want you to think about something that is shown to us in Luke chapter 9, verses 50 through 53. And as I read this text, see Jesus in your mind walking. Think about the difference between his walking in this text compared to taking a stroll. What's the difference? Luke wrote for us, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem." Now, did you get an image of how Jesus must have been traveling and thus how the Samaritans responded to him? Let's talk about the wonders of walking for a moment. You know, many Americans will not even walk down the street a few houses but will drive their cars. Maybe you're one of them. But you know, many good things happen when you take regular walks. Your health improves. If you do without a car permanently, you don't need auto insurance. Gas prices won't bother you. But when you walk, you see more things. You meet more people. When you walk, you enjoy more of life. Helen Keller said, "Keep your face to the sunshine, and you cannot see the shadows." Why all this talk about walking? Because the Bible uses walking as a metaphor for living. Perhaps if Bible writers had lived in modern America, they would have used driving as a metaphor for living. But why does the Bible use walking as a picture of living? Life is a journey, even as walking is a journey. Now, with those things in mind, let's turn now to Philippians chapter 3 And the verses we will be looking at today are verses 15 through 17. Let's look at verse 15, first of all, where we're told to think. Philippians 3:15 says, "Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." The mind of which Paul tells us to have is what he's been discussing in verses 1 through 14 that we've been looking at for the past several weeks. Forgetting the past and moving on is the way you could summarize those verses. We have not arrived and received the prize until we reach heaven. Therefore, keep pressing on and do not let the past distract you. And so Paul says, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Paul knows that not all his friends assess Christian issues as he himself does. If you are otherwise minded, that is, if you think that you're already absolutely perfect, well, God will reveal this to you. God will show you that you're not perfect. So what Paul was doing was turning over those cases to God. I mean, what else could he do? Here he is, an apostle, that is, one who had been appointed by Jesus Christ to represent Jesus. Paul had the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's writing the truth. If we can't see from what is written in the Scriptures that we're not perfect, that we have not already arrived to that condition, then Paul just simply says, hey, I turn you over to God. He'll reveal to you that you're not perfect. Again, I think that what Paul says here fits in perfectly with the theme verse of Philippians. Remember, I told you that it was found in chapter 1, verse 6, when Paul wrote that he was confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God wants you to grow and to receive the prize. Therefore, he has not left you on your own. For the people who think that they already have arrived, God shall show them otherwise in various ways. By their own experience, they will discover that they still have many things to learn. The Scriptures will convict them. A wise person will convict them by saying something directly to them, by maybe addressing a different matter, and these self-righteous will suddenly see themselves in a different light. There are, of course, many things God can do to show us that we're not perfect, and we're still in need of His teaching and instruction, rebuking and leadership. All right, so Philippians 3:15 was saying, think. Now, Philippians 3:16 says, walk. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. To the same degree that we have already attained. In other words, we are all at different levels. However, we have all grown some, at least that should be the case. How did you attain whatever growth you have? Do you know what to do from that point on? Listen further to what Paul exhorts. He says, let us walk by the same rule. Continue on that way or path that has helped you to gain your current maturity. If you have stopped walking on that path, or have taken another one, then get back to the original. Perhaps you see that you have not applied fully the course you have been on. Well, then seek to improve your application of it. You cannot go wrong. When Paul says walk. He is referring to walking in line or following a standard. It is not just a stroll in the country. You are walking home on the shortest route on the best trail. And this was certainly a needed lesson for Christians who may have been weary with the daily routine of religious life and work. Don't get discouraged. You are going to make it. Perhaps the best thing to do is to walk with God in the way a little girl walked with her father. A little girl was walking home with her father one night. As they walked along in the darkness, she said, "Take my hand, Papa. I can only take a little piece of yours, but you can take all of mine." Let us be like Enoch, who is mentioned in the Old Testament. The Bible says that Enoch was a man who walked with God, and a little child gave a good explanation of what it meant that Enoch walked with God, and then the Bible says that God took Enoch, and as a result, he never had to experience death. So, as this girl is going home with her mother from Bible class, the mother said, "Tell me what you learned." And the girl said, "Don't you know, Mother? Or Mom? One day we went for an extra long walk, and they walked on and on until God said to Enoch, 'You are a long way from home. You had better just come in and stay.' And so he went." If you walk with God, you will come out smelling like a rose, although you live in a world inhabited by skunks. The man who wrote the song, "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus," a Dr. Charles Weigel, one day visited Pasadena, California. Early that morning, he had the opportunity to walk through some of the famous rose gardens that are there, when the full fragrance of the flowers were filling the air. Later in the day, he arrived at the hotel where a Bible conference was being held. As he took a seat, a man turned to him and said, "Sir, I know where you've been. You toured one of our lovely gardens, for I can smell the pleasing aroma on your clothing." But he responded, "My prayer is that I may walk so closely with the Lord that the fragrance of His grace will pervade my being. I want them to know by my words, actions, and songs that I have been with Jesus." Now, let's move into Philippians 3, verse 17. Note others and follow their example. Paul said, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern." First, we do have Jesus as an example. But second, we also have Paul for an example. We follow Paul as he followed Christ. Now, in order for Paul to make a statement like that, he had to be very careful about his conduct. For if he was not careful, his example might be a stumbling block to someone else. Or, without even realizing it, he might lead someone into sin. And Paul certainly did not want to do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible explains why we can follow the example of Paul. Starting at verse 32 of 1 Corinthians 10, the Bible says this: "Give no offense, either to the Jews or to the Greeks, or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." see, any ordinary human being can follow Christ, even as Paul did. We learn from Paul that following Jesus Christ does not require a miracle from God, but it requires the determination to count all things loss for Christ and the determination to gain Christ at all costs. That is exactly what we've been seeing in Philippians chapter 3. And then Paul added here in verse 17, "And note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern." So in addition to Jesus, in addition to Paul, we also have brothers and sisters among us whose example we should follow. Now, we often know about a similar command to do the opposite. For example, in Romans 16:17, it is written, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them." Or another one is 2 Thessalonians 3:14. "And if anyone does not obey your word in this epistle, note that person, and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed." Well, we certainly need to have zeal in following the teaching of those two passages I just gave you. But now let us have the same zeal to find Christians whom we can imitate. In addition to watching and avoiding, as Romans 16 and 2 Thessalonians 3 teach, let us also, as Philippians 3 teaches, watch and follow. Since rejoicing is a theme of Philippians, do we not have an example here of someone who rejoices regardless of his circumstances? I mean, just look at Paul. You see him in prison writing this letter, and look at the things that he's saying. And I'm sure that you probably know some people who have many health problems, but like Paul, those people sing like a canary in a cage. They don't complain. They're always thinking of other people. Now, here in Philippians 3:17, when Paul gives us the word example in our English text, well, in the Greek text in which Paul originally wrote, the word that he used had the meaning of leaving an impression by a stroke. And then it meant a pattern or a mold, as it's being used here in Philippians chapter 3. I think that's interesting because very few people can create or trailblaze. Most of us need someone to follow. We need to follow something. When I was younger, I used to like to draw a lot, but I could never make up something to draw. But I could always duplicate what someone else had done. Well, most of us need to follow instructions, blueprints, pictures, whatever. In other words, someone has already left a brush stroke for us. Someone has already carved the pattern. Someone has already made a mold. We just need to come in behind and use it. We can learn so much by following someone's example. Many years ago, a senior executive of one of the largest banks in New York City told of how he had risen to a place of prominence and influence. You see, at first, he served as an office boy. Then one day, the president of the company called him aside and said, "I want you to come into my office and be with me each day." But the young man replied, "But what could I do to help you, sir? I don't know anything about finances." "Never mind that. You will learn what I want to teach you a lot faster if you just stay by my side and keep your eyes and ears open." Well, that office boy did just that. and became a famous banker. And he said, that was the most significant experience of my life. Being with that wise man made me just like him. I began to do things the way he did. And that accounts for what I am today. But what do you think will happen if, first of all, you concentrate on following the pattern of Jesus Christ, then following the pattern of his apostles, then following the pattern of devoted disciples of Christ that you know? What kind of person shall you be? There are people around us who are following the example of Paul, as well as of Timothy and Epaphroditus, whom Paul mentioned earlier in the letter. So I think these words that we're reading of Paul here in Philippians 3, 15 through 17 are so crucial. Because it's not that Paul was trying to set himself or his own life up as an ethical standard. Paul was definitely presenting Christ as the absolute standard in both words and action, words and works. Paul himself was to be imitated only as far as he imitates Christ. But the imitation of Christ is something that Paul worked on daily. And he knew that many of the people who were converted by his teaching, they're going to imitate him anyways. You know, just like how we imitate people in all situations of life. And so Paul knew that if his example led them astray, he'd have to answer for it in the day of judgment. Therefore, Paul set out daily to so live a life that others were able to imitate it and thus find their way into heaven, following right behind Jesus. My friends, I urge you, please, to practice relentless, daily self-discipline that you might be a disciple of Jesus Christ, so that those people who are watching you and people who are picking up your habits and imitating you, whether you realize it or not, when this life is done, you and those people will stand before Christ, and you will not have to give an account of a life of hypocrisy, but a life of sincerity and truth in Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." And that's exactly what I'm trying to show you right here. Discipline yourself. Bring it into subjection, so that when people see your example, they will know exactly how a disciple of Christ is supposed to live. With whom are you walking? Can people tell by the words that you use, the opinions you express, the things you do, that you are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is the one that you want to be like? Do you not want to be like Jesus? If that has not been the case, I hope you will turn right now. Turn your heart to God. Turn your heart to the master teacher of life, Jesus Christ. And may you turn away from the way the world says you ought to live. And may you submit yourself totally and freely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friends, I want to urge you to worship with the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. There are Bible classes for all ages at 10 o'clock this morning. There is worship at 11, and again in the evening at 6 o'clock. The members of the church would be delighted to meet you. And I'd encourage you to worship with the church on a regular basis, that you might learn more about Jesus, that you might get to know more people who are wanting to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. For in so doing, you will be blessed, you will find yourself closer to God through Christ, and thus closer to heaven itself. If the church can be of any service to you, please give them a call at 541-882-5894. Till next Sunday, my friends, sharpen your perception about your daily walk. This has been Perception with Don Rule and the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. May God bless you.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered cross makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love. Just when hope seems to end, welcome faith, sweet embrace, tender touch filled with grace, faithful love, endless power, living flame, spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way. Faithful love. Jesus is here.